Wait, you have
okay.
A whole bunch?
I just have.
Let's get started. So just by way of recapping where we're up to, we started off with introducing the Isser of Amir al-Akam, and we explained that there's numerous sources in Chazal that forbid us from asking a non-Jew to do malacha for us on Shabbos, forbid us from doing things that we can't do on our own on Shabbos. We discussed in previous weeks some cases where it is permitted to explicitly go over to a non-Jew and ask him, can you do the following malacha for me? And we also discussed there's a separate issue which really is linked together, that any time a non-Jew performs a malacha for a Jew, does a malacha for a Jew, the Jew is not allowed to benefit from that malacha. And as we moved through all the different sugyas that we learned, we understand, we always have to deal with those two issues. Number one is the issue of asking a non-Jew to do the malacha for you. And then, aside from that, there's also the issue of, once he did it, can I benefit from it? So now we are in a sugya where that topic becomes very, very relevant. And that's the topic of remiza. And now we have to think about this. I will probably reiterate this numerous times throughout this year because it's very important. But any time a person's doing remiza, which means that he's hinting to a non-Jew to do malacha for him, the only reason why he's going to be hinting to the non-Jew to do the malacha for him is because he can't ask him. If it was mutter to ask him, then he would just ask him. Now the logic of why it's forbidden to benefit from malacha is because if you're able to benefit from the malacha, that will encourage you to ask him the next week. So Chazal didn't want that it should be so convenient, so easy for us to ask non-Jews to do malacha for us. So they said, even if he does it for you, even if you don't ask him, if he does the malacha for you on Shabbos, you can't benefit from it. So now remisa gets very complicated. So because let's just take a classic case. You've got to turn the air conditioner on. So you ask your rabbi, he says, no, you can't ask him to turn it on. And I'm not saying that's going to be the psak all the time. But say that's what the Rav says. The Rav says, no, you can't ask him to turn it on. So you say, all right, I won't ask him. I go to my next door neighbor who's not Jewish and I say, you know, it's crazy. It's so hot in the house. It's out of control. You know, we're not allowed to turn the air conditioner on. And he says, oh, I'm allowed to turn it on. He comes into the house and turns it on. Can't benefit from it. So you accomplish nothing. So what's very important to keep in mind is last week, we discussed numerous scenarios where if a non-Jew did malacha for you on Shabbos, where it's going to be mutter. That share from last week, we can't go through the whole thing again this week, but that share from last week is extremely important for this whole topic because all those exceptions are always going to be the cases where it's mutter to benefit from it. Now let's start the sugya of remiza and differentiate between the different types of remiza. Remiza literally meaning where you'll hint to the non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. So I'm going to start with one Mishnah and two different Gemaras. The Mishnah, source number one, is the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, and reads as follows. Nachri Shabbat L'Chabos, a non-Jew comes to put out a fire for you. Ein Omer Lo Kabei V'Al Tekabei. You can't tell him, go ahead, please put out the fire. So say someone, his house catches fire on Shabbos, a non-Jew comes, so you can't say, can you please put the fire out for me? You don't either have to say, don't put it out. In other words, let him do whatever he wants. And the reason is, the Mishnah explains, b'pnei she'ein shvisasan alehen. We are not responsible to make them keep Shabbos. Why does the Mishnah say that? The Mishnah is contrasting that to a case of a katan, a child who comes to put it out. We are responsible to teach our children to keep Shabbos. As the pasuk says, ato u'bincha v'itecha, the mitzvah of Shabbos is incumbent upon you and your children, so you have to make sure your child doesn't put out a fire. So a child, you have to stop him. But a non-Jew who comes to put out the fire, let him go ahead and do it. That's what the Mishnah says.
What if it's someone else's child?
Okay, so I think we should... That's a very good topic. I think that we should save that for... It's a whole sugya. Because in certain cases, you can ask your child. In certain cases, whether there's a mitzvah of chinuch or there's an isser of sfiya b'yadayim. So in Siman Shin Mem Gimel, it's discussed at great length. I think let's keep that off for another time. The Gemara continues and says as follows. Amar Rabbi Ami, source number two. Rabbi Ami says, just as Ami's father walks into the room, Amar Rabbi Ami, it says, "Bidleika, when there is a fire in a house, hitiru lemer kol mechaba ene mafsid. When there's a fire in a house, you're allowed to say the following expression: whoever will put out this fire for me will not lose out. In other words, you're not telling anybody to put out the fire, and But what you are saying is, kol machava ein mafsid. And whoever will put out the fire won't lose out. I'm sorry to do this again. If anybody mind, I don't want the room to be taken over entirely by the shir, because there are people who are going to come in. So if we could come a little closer, like this, we're not dominating the whole room. So the Gemara says, when a person's house is on fire, you're allowed to say, whoever will put out the fire won't lose out. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, that's source number two. The second source. Number one, you can't ask a non-Jew to put out a fire for you. But if your house is on fire, you're allowed to make the following announcement, which says, whoever will put out the fire won't lose out. So it's not explicit, but you've kind of hinted it very well. The third source. It's the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Amud Aleph. Go to where it's underlined. D'tanya, for it says in Ebraisa, Lo yoymar adam l'chaveroi, person cannot tell his friend, Hanira shatam an imil erev, do you think you could stand next to me tonight? And what does he have in mind? What's he thinking? He's thinking, I got to get some business done. I can't ask him on Shabbos to do it for me, because it's an isser to ask him to do it after Shabbos. What he's saying is, would you mind to come stand next to me tonight? And what his intention is, to ask him that as soon as Shabbos is over, can you do the following melacha for me? So say someone needs a construction project built. He calls somebody over, and he says to the person, a non-Jew, he says, could you come stand next to me tonight? The guy's a contractor. He knows the only relationship he has with this person is doing melacha for him. So he says, okay, I got it. What's the halacha? The Gemara says, yes, that's mutter, you're allowed to do that. So again, source number one, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to put out a fire for you. Source number two says you can say whoever will put it out will not lose out. That's a remiza. And then, the Gemara says you're allowed to ask a non-Jew backwards, in a backwards way, say, could you stand next to me? Now, what's important in source number two is that the only time the Gemara says you're allowed to ask a non-Jew through remiza, through hinting to him to do it, is by a dleika. When a person's house is on fire. It doesn't say if it's hot in the house. It doesn't say if you want to turn the light on. It doesn't say if you want him to do anything else for you on Shabbos. You're allowed to ask him, let it hint it. It's specifically in a case of a deleika. When a person's house is on fire, you're allowed to hint to him to do malacha for you on Shabbos. So, source number two teaches us that under most circumstances, you can't hint to a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Source number three says that when I'm asking him to do the malacha after Shabbos, it's mutter. Okay, and that's... So we basically cover two things. On Shabbos, for Shabbos, it's asr to do remiza. Okay? On Shabbos, for moitzai Shabbos, it's mutter to do remiza. How about on Erev Shabbos, for Shabbos? And though we're not done. We'll get through the cases where remiza is going to be mutter on Shabbos. But how about Erev Shabbos? Person wants to go to a non-Jew and say, can you do the following thing for me on Shabbos? So you're not allowed to do that. Amir al-Akam is usher on Shabbos for Shabbos, on Shabbos for after Shabbos, Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. Amir al-Akam is always going to be a problem. How about Remiza? So this takes us to a very interesting Sefer, Ar Zerua, source number four. Go to the end, where he's quoting Harav Baruch Bar Yitzchak, it's B'Sefer Trumas. He writes as follows. V'aser loymar, tried to bold it out, didn't come out so well. V'aser loymar, it's aser to tell, to instruct la'akam a non-Jew be'erev Shabbos asei ha'esh b'Shabbos, make a fire for me on Shabbos, or oy lahad lekaner avol la'achar Shabbos, after Shabbos is over. Mutra loymar la'avdei l'shevchase, a person can tell his servant or his maidservant, lama lo yasis ha'esh, didn't you see how cold it was over Shabbos? Where were you? The whole day everyone's inside, freezing cold. What were you doing? You weren't paying attention. Why don't you turn the fire on? What's the point of doing that? It's over. Why are you saying that to this non-Jewish worker? Just to get your anger out? The Gemara, he explains. The reason you're doing that is because next week, when the same thing happens, you want the non-Jew to do it. Now remember, again, in the times that he's talking about, he didn't have a thermostat. If the wood in the fireplace burnt up, you need someone to light new wood. So it was very important for the non-Jew to know next week to light the fireplace when it goes out. Now it's important to also point out, there is no difference between hinting on Moitzai Shabbos for Shabbos or hinting on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. There's no difference between Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. The point is that it's before Shabbos for Shabbos. So here we have the Sefer Arzurua quoting the Sefer Truma, who says you're allowed to hint to a non-Jew before Shabbos that the non-Jew will do something on Shabbos. Okay? Good, makes sense? The Havamina that you can't. So look. So I really skipped. Go back to the beginning of this. Go back, there's a period in the middle. You see there's a period in the middle? He writes, V'amir la'akum me'erev Shabbos, she'yaseh ha'akum b'Shabbos. To actually explicitly tell the non-Jew on Erev Shabbos, to do melacha on Shabbos, eini yodea I aser ilav. I'm not sure if it's mutter or not. Why? Demidihu taima, el kadesh lo yovi atzmi lidei she'yaseh uba Erev Shabbos lo shayach l'migzer o'idumo lo'ishna. Now the way I understand it is as follows. He's not sure exactly what the problem of Amir al-Akam is. Is it that when I engage in discussion with a non-Jew about doing malacha, what I'm ultimately doing is I am bringing myself to the farthest possible, or let's just say the closest possible step, doing the malacha, except I'm not doing it. Maybe that's the problem, and if that's the case, it's not relevant on Erev Shabbos, because I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos. Or maybe the problem is that through my instructions, I'm having a non-Jew do something on Shabbos. Now, that being the case, it makes it a bit complicated. So he's not sure exactly what the issue is. Now, with regard to Amir al-Akam, he wasn't sure. But when we came to Remiza, he quotes the Sefer Rabbeinu Baruch from Sefer Truma that it's mutter. Okay? Now, the Torah, source number 5, he quotes this. V'sefer ha-mitzvahs hitter lemer loy achar ha-shabbos lama loy asisa dover pleni v'shabbos. He says it's mutter to ask a non-Jew why he didn't do this on Shabbos. Even though the non-Jew will understand that he wants him to do it on Shabbos, the Torah doesn't like it. Okay, the Torah quotes it. The Torah says to ask from a non-Jew to do something on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, he's not so happy with it. Okay, that's the Torah. The Bach, one of the commentators on the Torah, he writes right away. The Bach says the truth is that the halacha is like was written from Rabbeinu Baruch, and it's mutter. And he brings a raya. He brings a whole raya. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Now,
is writing a list the same thing as amira? Like if you write a list for the Akum.
Give me 4 minutes.
Perfect.
Okay.
Start the call.
Now the Bach quotes Bach right away. He quotes the Sefer Truma, and he says the halacha is like him. He's correct, and then he goes even further. At the end, look at how he goes further. V'afilu b'Shabbos gufei, even on Shabbos itself, im loy mefarish behed yalasit kach v'kach. If he doesn't say clearly, do the following. Ela omer loy davar acher. You say something else. V'hagoy meivin shuratzenu shiyasa kach v'kach. The Bach right away says, there's no problem of hinting something to a non-Jew. He's extremely, extremely lenient with this. Apparently, when you told a non-Jew, could you clean my nose, the non-Jew understood. That was a symbol to say, you know, the candle's not lit well. So you say, can you clean my nose? And the guy says, sure. And he goes, he fixes the candles. I don't know, don't try this one at home. But ultimately, the Bach is very clear that to give an instruction to a non-Jew on Shabbos, to do malacha for you on Shabbos, is mutter. I didn't say that right. To give an inadvertent instruction to a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos is mutter. That's his opinion. Okay? Now, we have to keep this in mind. The Bach is extremely makel. Now, let's go to Shulchan Aruch in Siman in source number 7. This is in Siman Shin Zayin Sif Beis. Let's go and skip to the next page, the underlined part. So Shulchan Aruch quotes the Sefer Hatruma, and he writes, "Avamutra loymer loy achar Shabbos lama loy asisa davar plenty b'Shabbos she'aver." He's quoting what we have from the Arzurua, from the Sefer Truma, that you're allowed to tell the non-Jew, you go to the non-Jew after Shabbos, and you say, why didn't you turn on the light? Why didn't you turn on the air conditioner? Why didn't you do any of the following things? And he'll understand that next week he should do it. So in Shulchan Aruch, the way we always paskin, the Sefer Truma is quoted, and therefore we now know that on Erev Shabbos you're allowed to hint to a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. And I keep saying Erev Shabbos, even though they're talking about Moitzai Shabbos, because like I said, it makes no difference. Before Shabbos, you're allowed to hint to a non-Jew, you're not happy.
I don't understand. We spent the past 4 weeks saying that if a non-Jew does a malacha for you specifically,
you can't benefit from
you
it.
You can't have any
hanukkah. Okay,
so
perfect. It's a very important point. And that doesn't go away. Let's say it's talking about a case where it's not, my kitchen light is on, my hallway light is on, my dining room light is off. So it's considered hanah mu'etas. We said last week hanah mu'etas is mutter. So let's take a case like that. The light goes out in the dining room. You have guests, and you're relying on the sunlight to come in, and it was raining. Okay, now you have someone on Jew in the house, and they're just going about their business. Now you don't want to ask them. After Shabbos, you say, what was with you? You were here all Shabbos. You saw we had 15 guests, and the light was off. So she said, oh, I'm sorry. I won't let that happen again. The next week, the same thing happens. She walks into the dining room, and she says, oh, the light's off. So now you're allowed to benefit from it, because you had light. It wasn't pitch black. You were able to eat. You just have more light. That would be one case. All right? In other words, the bottom line is, like I said in the beginning, no, you cannot benefit from malacha that a non-Jew does for you on Shabbos. But it would have to be one of those cases that we discussed last week that would make it mutter. Go to source number 9. Source number 9, it's in Simon Shin Zayin, Sivchav Beis. This is the Ramah. Look at the Ramah. Kol davar sh'asr loymar le'ein Yehudi la'asai sebe' Shabbos. Anything that's asr to tell a non-Jew to do on Shabbos. In other words, if you can't explicitly go over to a non-Jew and ask the Jew to turn the light on, then it says loy, but that's not a real loy. That is a number of a, it's a reference number to one of the Nesu Kelim. Aser lirmoiz loylasayse. Says the Ramah, anything that's usher to tell a non-Jew to do on Shabbos, you can't hint him to do it on Shabbos. Clearly, he's arguing on which one of the opinions that we saw earlier? The Bach. The Bach said you're allowed to hint to a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Says the Ramah, no, you can't. All right? So now, we know at before Shabbos, for Shabbos, you're allowed to hint to him. On Shabbos, for Shabbos, Bach says yes, Ramah says no. We pass him like the Ramah usually. Comes along the Taz and throws us off entirely. What does he do? Let's see, source number 10. The Taz, he writes that the Torah wrote that it's usher to hint from before Shabbos to Shabbos. He says it's Temua. He asks a kasha on him. It happens to be the Taz of the son-in-law of the Bach, so it stands to reason that he'd be sticking up for his father-in-law. Or maybe not. But at the end, in other words, he says the halacha is like the Bach. If you look, v'afil b'shabbos gufei v'kach kasev mari chami, the following is written by my father-in-law, and he says, v'afil b'shabbos gufei mutter, Ludaber Baloshin Remish Yavan Lasis Ezadavar. And he brings a right. In other words, he says, my father-in-law is right. You're allowed to hint to a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Then he at the end he writes, Ulkaman Simin Zeb Saifikasav Ramad Asr Lumris La'akum Komash Asr Lemar Vachainikar. So now we have a massive problem because the Taz, he quotes his father-in-law the Bach and he says, my father-in-law is right. And then he quotes the Ramah and says he's right. Now, the way we just built this all up, the Bach and the Ramah don't sit at the same table. The Bach says you're always allowed to do remiz on Shabbos. The Ramah says, no, you're not. So how do we deal with this? It's an open and closed, head-on stira in this Taz. Says the Yad Ephraim, there are different types of remiza. We lump all remizas together. He says there's remiza b'dibor, and there's remiza which is through actions. Remiza through actions would be, the way I would think it is imagine, you know, you snap your finger and point to the light switch. Right? So I didn't tell him anything. Like, I get his attention, and I point to the light switch. That's Remiza. Says the Yad Ephraim, that's what the Rama was talking about. When he said Asra Lermez Light, he was talking about when you give, you give a very clear message, just you don't use language for it. In other words, you communicate the message very well. How? With using your own hands. However, and he says that pretty clearly, Ella al karchach de remez ayidei dibor kiltfe. When I use backwards speech, no one talks like that. That is much more kal, and that's where the Rabach was makel. So now we're able to take the Rama and the Bach and put them at the same table. They're both saying the same thing. Remiza is usher when it's explicit, when I use my hands to give a message. Or maybe if you flick your nose, that would mean to fix the candle. But using dibor is kiltfe, using your own, your language, but not speaking clearly, that's one area where it's where we're making. Now we have to understand what the halach is with regard to dibor, using speech.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Is there a problem, I guess, having the guy do it for you, is that he's acting on your behalf, and so are we saying that that's
okay, so that's a premise. That's the premise that you have. You have these acting in your behalf. The first share that we mentioned that there is one school of thought that says that the Isser of Amir al-Akam is shlichos. Now the problem is that in most cases we don't really apply the halachas of shlichos to a non-Jew. So it's a question of shlichos l'chumra, and it's a very long sugi with regard to ribbis. Can a person appoint a non-Jew to lend with ribbis for him? I think it's beyond the scope of today's discussion. But I think that would be a chiddush to say that that's the problem. The most logical understanding of the problem of Amir al-Akum is that when it gets too close to you doing it, in other words, Chazal were worried that if we have too many loopholes in how I can be mechal Shabbos that with beheter, so then ultimately the whole Shabbos is going to go down. The Rambam writes this very clearly with regard to Muktzah, and it seems to write this very clearly with regard to Amir al-Akam as well, and Ramesh writes it very clearly with regard to Shabbos clocks. But ultimately, the point really is that when you can do anything that is ultimately forbidden by just hiring someone to work for you, so you can really, literally just wipe away the whole Shabbos. That was what Chazal were worried about. Do you still have your question?
According to the first purpose, you're saying that that's because basically in that way, anything that you do, you're essentially, you know, the conductor, so that you're the
right. That's really that's true. That's why the Rama. Let me tell you the way I understand it. When Chazal said there's an Isser of Amir al-Akum, what they meant was there's an Isser to communicate to a non-Jew to do something. And that's where we're going to see that there's two types of Remiza. One's called Remiza v'derech tzivoy, one's Remiza shlo v'derech tzivoy. We're going to try to define those very soon. Remiza v'derech tzivoy means that I did everything to give the message to the non-Jew. In other words, what I would say is I communicated the message to the non-Jew that I want him to do the following. When that's the case, so the Chazal say, don't play games. If it's usher to ask him, then it's usher to tell him, wipe my nose. Because ultimately, it's the same thing. Right? Remiza shlo b'derech tzivoy, what you're really doing in those cases, we're going to get to that very soon, is all you're doing is you're putting out the message that you are in an uncomfortable situation. The rest of the communication really happens on his own. In other words, it's kind of like a meta-communication. But ultimately, the bottom line is you're not communicating directly, it's an indirect communication. Let's see the cases that come down. Magen Avram, he writes very clearly, arguing on the Bach, Vim Kain, Asr loymer la'akum shiyakanea chaytmai, it's Asr to tell a non-Jew to clean his nose, kidei sheyavin sheyasr apachan shebereish haner, that he'll, like this, understand, to take that little coal that built up on top of the candle. The dafka loymer loydavr shemevin sheyasa achar ha-shabbos mutter. So says the Magen Avram, to give a remiza b'derech tzivo, in other words, you're saying, do the following. Even if the word following, what you said, wasn't really the malacha, that's a problem, because you gave him an instruction. That's number one. So remiza b'derech tzivoi, is aser. When is it mutter? We know when it's mutter. We saw earlier in the Gemara. When a person has a fire in his house is burning down, in such a case it's mutter. Why is it mutter? We'll see that in a minute. Says that, I'm skipping the next two sources because I think we're running out of time. But in source number 15, Shulchan Aruch, go to Sif Chaf Vav. Yachal loymar b'fnei ha'eni Yehudi kamachab enei maseh. You're allowed to say in front of a non-Jew, whoever will put out this fire will not lose out. So again, it's not an explicit instruction, but it's a very close, a very clear hint of what I want to be done here. Afim enei mezuman kan, even if he's not here, yachal l'kreis ha'shayav, you say, can you please come here? Can you come here? And what happens? He comes, he sees the guy's house is on fire. You just called me out of my house. And you're showing me your house is on fire. I get the message, I'll take the hose and spray the fire out. So this is a very important line. Anytime there's any sudden damage that happens, what happens to people when there's sudden damage? Says the Mishnah Brura, he's quoting the Gemara, it's in the same source over here in Sin Lam and Dalet. When a person gets startled by a sudden hezek, a damage, a loss of money, if we don't allow him some way to fix it, you know what's going to happen? He'll do it on his own. Chazal understood this. They weren't here to make gezeiros, to put us in a worse situation. They don't want us being mechalel Shabbos. So they understood that if we're not going to allow the person to put his fire out, to get his fire out somehow, so then he's going to put it out by himself, which is much worse. Therefore, Chazal said in these cases, when there's any sudden damage, where a person is going to be startled, he'll be flustered, and if he doesn't get it done, he'll do it himself. In all those cases, you could get the message across to the non-Jew to do it. That's Remiza B'derech Tzivoy. So anytime, let's define Remiza B'derech Tzivoy as giving an instruction, leaving out the most important detail, but it's very clear what you want. Remiza Shalai B'derech Tzivoy, the Magen Avraham writes about, he quotes the Ravya, source number 16, Ravya Matirin Baguda Kasov, Ani Nohagti. It was my custom, Leimer L'Acher L'Kavah L'Kres. He's talking about a letter that comes on Shabbos. Skip to the end of that line. Ani Oimer La'akum, I say to the non-Jew, Eini Yochel L'Kroisei Kolzmach Eini Pesuach. I can't read this letter if it's not open. So I'm not giving an instruction. I'm making a statement. It's referred to as Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma. I just said something. I can't read the letter. It's hot in the house. It's cold in the house. It's so dark in here. All those cases, you're not giving any instruction. You're just talking. Those cases, says the Magen Avraham, that's mutter. That's going to be a case where it's going to be mutter. And Mishnah Berurah quotes then in source number 17. That basically wraps it up. So let's just wrap up what we said over here. To do remiza on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, according to almost everybody, it's mutter. The Torah didn't like it so much. But let's assume it's mutter. Remiza b'derech tzivoy, where I'm giving an instruction, but I'm leaving out the most important detail, but it's clear what I want. That's only going to be mutter in a time where there's either a hezek or a loss of money. Remiza shle b'derech tzivoy is always going to be mutter. And remiza on Shabbos for after Shabbos will be mutter as well. Now, the elephant in the room, like we mentioned at the beginning, is if a non-Jew walks into my house on his own will, on his own volition, he comes walking into the house and he sees me sitting there reading or trying to read, and the light is off and he flips the light on, I have to shut the book. I can't read. Why? Because he turned the light off for me. So what does it help to do remiza? The answer is, and we have to keep, this is very important, the answer is all those cases that we've mentioned last week where this halacha doesn't apply, you could have gotten it done beheter, or there was some light, or any one of those cases that we mentioned last week, those are the cases when it's going to be mutter to benefit from it. Another example would be, last week we mentioned that the only time it's usher to benefit is when the non-Jew's giving me something. When he's taking something away from me, which would have caused me damage. For example, a fire. When he takes away a fire from me, this is Taisus' kasha. Taisus says that a non-Jew takes a fire away from me. How do I benefit from that? I'm benefiting from the lack of there being a fire. That's not called considered. Turning off a light as well. Some people would say, oh, now I can sleep. I don't think that's a good thing. But again, the same thing. Turning off a light is an excellent example. He's taking away something which would have bothered my sleep. Now I could benefit from it. That's not considered hanas gufa. So ultimately, what comes out over here is remiza, this which is the most important shabbos, remiza b'derech tzivoy, where I'm giving an instruction to a non-Jew, but I'm leaving out the main detail, that's a problem. Remiza shalei b'derech tzivoy, where I am just a sipur dvar ba'ama, that's going to be mutter. With regard to benefiting from what the non-Jew does for me, that's only going to be mutter if there's either no hanas gufa, no physical benefit from it, or there are other ways I could have gotten this done beheter, like if it was, let's say I was asking him to move something which was muktza. We mentioned that last week as well. Moving something which is muktza, there are ways it's mutter to do it. I could put it between my elbows. I could kick it with my foot. So if the non-Jew decides to go ahead and do it on his own by carrying it, that's a decision. That's his prerogative. He doesn't have to carry it behind his back with his elbows. But any time where I could have gotten it done beheter, that's when it's going to work. Okay, clear? Now writing, what do you think that fits into? Is that tenuis yad? Is that dibor? Writing before Shabbos is a clear tzivoy. If I write an email to you, let's say if you're an employee of mine, Gabi, can you please do the following? You don't do it. I gave you a command. You didn't listen. You're fired. Right? That was a command. Do I have to speak it? I have to actually let it out of my mouth?
You went into spam. Sorry.
All right.
So if these things are mutter,
you
could have done it in another way, let's say.
Yeah.
Why do you need to ask the remiza? Why can't you ask straight out?
Oh, you now let ask an just do malacha fiyu on Shabbos?
So in those cases where if he does the malacha,
you're going the other way around. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the other way around.
Right.
When I gave the shiur, when you're allowed to ask him, I said, remember, if you're allowed to ask him to do it, let's say someone's not feeling well, you let ask an anju to do malacha for him. If I'm allowed to ask him to do it, there's no gezera that I shouldn't be able to benefit from it, because what's the problem? Maybe you'll do it next week. It's just as mutter next week as it is this week. In other words, in any case where it's mutter, shvus to shvus b'maki mitzvah. Right? It's mutter to ask a non-Jew. So someone's going to say, you know what, to have a non-Jew, you know, ride my horse for me, or whatever it is. Or there are all kinds of Yisur Midrabanan, certain levels of refuah. Right? It's an Yisur Midrabanan. What's the problem? You'll do it again next week? It's fine. It's not a problem. Okay, next week I want to continue. I'm thinking either to continue with a bunch of questions, and I'll answer them Amir Lakum. Question, or we'll move on to Amir Li Yisrael. Amir Li Yisrael.